A gold emblem appears on the screen with the letters WB in its center. Warner Brothers Pictures, a Time Warner company. Graphics of bubbles and octopuses float on a purple background. The words Velvet Octopus appears on the screen. Bold white letters appear out of a shaft of purple and blue light. They form the words UK Film Council. The moon shines through turquoise waters, illuminating hundreds of tiny bubbles below the surface. Warner Brothers Pictures, Velvet Octopus, and the UK Film Council present a Forgon Smith Entertainment Spice Factory production, a Garbo Cuspo film. The Secret of Moonacre. Starring Ewan Griffith as Sir Benjamin Merriweather, Tim Curry as Code Noir, Natasha McElhone as Loveday, Juliet Stevenson as Miss Heliotrope, and Dakota Blue Richards as Maria Merriweather. A large day moon hangs in a pale blue cloud-dotted sky. Leaves litter the floor of a cemetery. A formal procession walks in silence as a coffin is carried inside a glass case on a horse-drawn carriage. Maria Merriweather, a 13-year-old girl with light red hair, elegantly tied back from her face, walks next to the carriage carrying two red roses in her hands. Miss Heliotrope, a slender woman wearing a grey high-necked bustled dress, walks behind Maria. Two figures with cloaks hiding their faces walk a few steps behind. Maria throws a rose on the coffin. She lays the other rose on the grave of her mother.
What the Lord giveth, he also taketh away.
Out of the corner of her eye, she spots a masked young rogue watching her from across the cemetery. When she looks again, he's gone. Maria and Miss Heliotrope walk up the stairs of an imposing building and are led through to a grand room.
Ah, Miss Merriweather. This being the last will and testament of Colonel George Herbert Merriweather of London.
He lost it all? Including the house?
No. No, Papa can't have been in London. Why, he wrote to me and said that he was coming home. He wouldn't arrive and not...
Miss Heliotrope looks pleadingly at him.
Ah, well, your father did leave you this book. As your inheritance...
Miss Heliotrope passes the large leather-bound book with ornate gold gilding and a metal lock to a puzzled Maria.
The Ancient Chronicles of Moonacre Valley.
Later at home.
I know this is hard, but you know, I'm sure that your father did love you. He just, and you know... Everybody does have to go out on their own at some point in their lives, and...
Miss Heliotrope, I'm fine. Really.
Maria stares at the floor.
Yes.
Resigned, Miss Heliotrope stands and leaves the room. At the door, she turns back and looks with concern at a forlorn Maria perched on the bed. Maria picks up the Ancient Chronicles of Moonacre Valley. She lifts a leather bookmark out from between the large, thick pages. As she carefully turns the page, seven white sparkling lights appear on the front cover. She stares at the first page of the book, written in elegant handwriting with a picture of a woman on a beach on the page opposite.
Once upon a perfect time, many hundreds of years ago, when the old magic clung to Moonacre Valley, there was a young woman whose skin gleamed as pale as a star, and whose heart was as pure as moonlight. Such was her bravery and goodness, she was beloved by nature as if she were its own daughter.
Under the light of the moon, the beautiful woman gently floats into the air with a whirlwind of small pearls spinning around her.
One fateful night, the moon blessed her with an extraordinary gift that would change the magic of the valley forever. The moon pearls. From that day forth, she was known as the Moon Princess.
The Moon Princess looks down at the glistening pearls in her hand. In the sunshine, people are gathered in a stone amphitheatre perched on the edge of a cliff.
Two ancient families lived in harmony at the edge of the valley, sharing nature's bounty. Daughter of the Dunois clan, the Moon Princess fell deeply in love and was to be married to Sir Rolf Merryweather. Her father, Sir William Dunois, blessed the union by presenting the couple with a rare black lion.
For my daughter's bridegroom.
Thank you, Father.
She kneels before the black lion.
In turn, Sir Rolf gave his bride a unicorn, lured from the wild white horses of the sea.
She lovingly strokes the beautiful creature.
Only an animal of such beauty and purity could be the companion of a moon princess.
Her heart overflowing with happiness, the moon princess revealed the magical pearls to both families.
Nurtured fathoms deep in the heart of the ocean, these pearls were given to us by Mother Nature herself, promising untold riches to us all. Look, they have a unique power. They can reveal the truth in men's hearts.
Legend told of their unique power. So strong the pearls would grant every wish, both good and evil.
With a frightened look, the Moon Princess becomes the picture in the book. The next day, the servants wait on the steps of Maria's house. A country servant waiting by a horse-drawn carriage smiles as Maria walks out of the house and approaches her servants.
Goodbye, Miss Merryweather.
Goodbye. Goodbye.
Goodbye, miss.
You'll be Miss Maria Merryweather, then.
My man? Quick!
He rushes up the stairs to take Miss Heliotrope's bags.
My man.
Yes. Get on with you.
Oh.
Goodbye.
Mom.
Yes, yes, yes.
Miss Heliotrope.
Maria, when your dear mother died, I promised her faithfully that I would take care of you. So I'm not going to abandon you now. If you're going to live with your uncle amongst the rigors of the countryside, then I shall be there with you.
The carriage travels through the city of London, passing St. Paul's Cathedral. It journeys into the countryside along tree-lined tracks. Inside the carriage, Maria and Miss Heliotrope look decidedly pale.
Oh, where are my charcoal tablets? All this is doing nothing for my indigestion. I'm an absolute martyr to my stomach.
The carriage clips a tree.
How can I possibly go to live in the country? It's full of the countryside.
They're thrown about in the back as the carriage tumbles onwards.
Maria, there is only one thing that can save us now.
Classical French needlepoint.
They take out their needlework and, concentrating furiously, they begin to sew. A falcon sits perched on top of a long stone boundary wall with a small tower and a portcullis in the centre of it. The carriage pulls up outside and the servant jumps out to unlock it.
What's happening? Have we arrived? Is he deaf or something?
The man's obviously a half-wit.
Battling one of the master assailants, Maria stabs him with her needle. Miss Heliotrope jabs her attacker with a walking stick as the carriage pulls away. The portcullis closes, leaving the attackers the other side.
Who were they? What did they want?
Don't worry, my dear. Sir Benjamin will protect us. I'm sure of that.
They make the long journey from the gate through a vast stretch of woodland and reach a large, old, stately home just as night falls. The carriage halts outside the front entrance of the imposing, secluded grey house. Maria and Miss Heliotrope stare anxiously out of the carriage window.
Ladies.
Bedraggled, Miss Heliotrope staggers out. The shadowy figure of a man stands at the top of the stairs.
Welcome to Moonacre.
Unfortunate circumstances. There we are. Nothing to be done.
Maria nervously approaches the handsome yet surly Sir Benjamin.
I'm pleased to meet you, Uncle.
Miss Heliotrope?
Oh, Sir Benjamin, what a journey we've had! Oh, not 1 hour from this very door, we were accosted by a bunch of ruffians.
Madam, please. I'll hear your fascinating stories some other time, if I may.
Taken aback, they watch Sir Benjamin abruptly turn his back on them and walk up the dark stairs into the house. Holding on to each other, they make their way cautiously up the dark stairs behind him. At the top of the steps, they enter a sparse, soulless room where a large black dog with red eyes sits by a roaring log fire.
His name is Rolf. There are those who find him alarming. He can kill in an instant. But you're a Merryweather. He very probably won't harm you.
A large moon hangs low in the sky. By candlelight, Sir Benjamin leads Maria and Miss Heliotrope through the house's grey corridors.
Miss Heliotrope, your room is over there, on the right.
Oh, thank you, Sir Benjamin. Yes. Well, come along, Maria. I'm sure that your room will be next to mine.
No, Maria's room is up in the tower.
But, Uncle, I...
Perhaps you'd like to inspect your room first before you turn your nose up at it.
He leads her up a small spiral staircase, leaving Miss Heliotrope stood alone. At the top of the staircase, Sir Benjamin gestures over to a small wooden door before heading back down.
Good night, Uncle.
Charmed, I'm sure.
Maria runs her fingers over the grey wall. A thick layer of grey dust comes off. She walks up 3 steps to the tiny wooden door. Maria looks around in wonder at the beautiful circular room. The walls are decorated with detailed murals like the pictures from her book, and hundreds of tiny, twinkling painted stars cover the domed ceiling. Putting down her bag, she slowly drinks in her luxurious surroundings. She sits for a moment on the handcrafted bed and runs her small hands over the fine silk bed linen and smiles. She walks over to a small yet perfectly sculpted fireplace, which is moulded into the shapes of shells and waves. She follows the intricate details with her hand. Sitting down, she smiles to herself with a glint of happiness and excitement in her eye. As the sun rises over Sir Benjamin's house, Maria begins to stir. Slowly she opens her eyes and notices a glass of milk and two butterfly biscuits with white icing on a plate next to her bed. Chewing on the biscuit, she looks at the detailed icing and perfect butterfly shape with confusion before putting it back. Getting out of bed, she spots a velvet dress on the chair by the door with the initial L sewn into the cuff in gold thread.
What on earth is this?
She holds the dress up against herself.
Oh, no. No, I think not.
She walks over to her chest and pulls out her own dress. Clutching the old book, Maria walks out of her room in her big, bustled dress. Maria stares at a portrait of the Moon Princess standing in a forest which has appeared on the wall outside her room. Clutching hold of the Chronicles tightly, Maria scurries downstairs.
Young lady, we're taking breakfast through here. Where did you get this from?
Papa left it to me.
Well, he had no right to. This belongs here.
But that's mine! Miss Heliotrope! Tell him! Tell him he can't take my father's book from me!
Maria! Good gracious! Where's your self-restraint?
But he can't just go around
Maria,
thinking...
Don't worry. I'm sure he's just keeping it safe somewhere for you. Sit down, have your porridge.
Miss? That be your breakfast, miss.
Sir Benjamin marches in and his servant Digweed pulls his seat out at the head of the table for him.
Maria, you really must try this delicious kedgeree.
A dish best enjoyed in silence, I'm told.
Interesting.
The others watch bemused as Sir Benjamin pours a brown liquid into an extra large glass.
Uncle, you ought to return my father's book to me.
He cracks an egg into the glass. Miss Heliotrope gawps at him as he downs the drink.
Well, you certainly have a very, very good cook, Sir Benjamin. Have you had her long?
Madam, no woman has set foot in this house for years. And believe me, the silence has been blissful.
Well, I must say, this country food is doing wonders for my trapped wind.
That's deep. Can't a man enjoy a meal in his own home in silence?
Digweed, Maria and Miss Heliotrope all stare in shock at the outburst. Benjamin simply wipes away the crumbs from his shirt with his napkin.
Well, do you tell us, Uncle? Why did you invite such irritating, noisy females into your nice, quiet house? I'd love to know.
My useless brother dies in debt, and it falls on me to take you in. The man was a cowardly good-for-nothing.
Sir Benjamin!
How dare you say that! My father was a colonel!
Yes, and he died in debt owing money to half the regiment.
He fought for his country.
And got himself killed in a backstreet gambling den. Borrowed money once too many times from the wrong sort of moneylenders.
He wouldn't take money from me, would he? Oh, no. Damn fool's pride. You are a Merryweather, Maria. And this is where you belong, here at Moonacre. There we are. There's nothing else to be done.
Miss Heliotrope covers her mouth.
Library private and my study prohibited. At
And in here, the east wing closed. The west wing out of bounds. There we are. And
Uncle,
in here.
About that attack yesterday. Can't something be done?
Yes, keep your little nose out.
I beg your pardon?
Just keep out of the forest.
But why? Who are they?
There is a band of ruffians in the woods, the Dunois clan.
You mean like the Dunois in the storybook?
Oh, no, 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 these are real enough. Poachers, bandits, plunderers, a lot of them. Ladies, this should suit your needs.
And this will be your classroom, ladies.
They walk into a large room with just a table and two chairs. Rolf walks through the room.
Le coeur, la soif de se baigner.
He trots back, carrying a whole plucked chicken in his mouth. At night, a horse runs through the grounds. In bed, Maria watches as stars on her ceiling spark into life and shoot across the mural, then reappear outside her window. The next morning, Maria wakes and reaches beside her for the biscuits and milk, but there's nothing there. Disappointed, she pulls back the covers and starts to get out of bed. As she does so, she notices a glass of milk and a plate of biscuits on the other side of the room. She clambers over to them and takes a drink of milk and picks up one of the animal-shaped biscuits and takes a bite. She spots another dress draped over the chair. She picks it up and grimaces as she holds it up against herself. Later that day, Maria wanders through the corridors of the house and into a music room, where a piano covered with a large white dust sheet sits on a raised area by a large bay window. She pulls back the sheet and carefully lifts the lid. As she sits down, the keys begin to move by themselves. She places her keys on the hands and plays. Sir Benjamin watches from the doorway.
Digweed, bring me my whip.
You weren't expecting me to.
She can't ride, can she?
Oh, Sir Benjamin, it is a medical fact that the lady should never be allowed to sit upon a horse. I mean, they are unstable and they are vicious creatures. Oh, dear.
I'll be the horse nuggets then, miss.
I think that, Sir Benjamin, it might be an appropriate moment for me to retire. Take care, Maria, my dear.
Come, Maria. Every Merryweather can ride. It's in the blood. This is Periwinkle. She's a little feisty, but she's a loyal steed.
Just hold out your hand. I give you my word. It'll stay attached to your wrist, miss.
Reluctantly, she touches Periwinkle on his nose. Benjamin watches as her frightened expression transforms into one of delight and tenderness. She lovingly strokes the beautiful dappled grey and white horse and nuzzles into its neck and kisses it gently.
You see, miss? She knows.
Digweed helps her onto the horse and waves her off as she rides away behind Benjamin.
You're getting on well with Periwinkle.
Yes, Uncle. She's a bit feisty.
Set him off
We should be heading back. It's getting late.
Rain. Uncle, I'm really enjoying this. Could I stay out a little longer?
As long as you promise to stay within Moonacre boundaries. Remember, I can only vouch for your safety if you stay out of the forest.
I shall be home before long, and Periwinkle will take good care of me.
Very well. Come at us.
Goodbye, Uncle.
Maria confidently rides Periwinkle through a field of long grass and up to the edge of the forest.
What's so special about the forest, anyway?
She tries to peer into the forest through the bracken. Unable to see, she thinks for a moment before dismounting Periwinkle.
You stay here.
Maria creeps into the forest and walks amongst the tall trees. She notices a small wicker trap lying on the leaf-strewn woodland floor. A grey rabbit is trapped inside.
You poor little thing. Who did this to you? Here, how do you open this?
One trap, two catches.
What do you want?
That's girls. Catch an animal that can't resist coming to help.
I know who you are. You're bandits and plunderers.
She spots a needle scratch in one of the attacker's hands.
You!
You're coming with us now. My father is just
dying to make your acquaintance.
It's a demon dog! Robin, let's get out of here!
They run back into the woods.
Thank you, you old demon dog, you. Come on, little one. Let me take you home.
She cradles the rabbit. Elsewhere in the forest, a figure wearing a metal helmet which covers his face rides through the woods.
Robin, it's your father!
Robin, the attacker with the needle scratch on his hand, stares up at his father with a look of foreboding.
What did I do to deserve such a prize dolt for a son?
Maria walks into the Merryweather house carrying the rabbit in her bonnet. Sir Benjamin sits sullenly beside the fire.
I hope Periwinkle gave you an educational tour of the estate.
I have a wounded hare.
That, young lady, is a rare Moonacre rabbit. By far the more beautiful, brave and serene a creature. And as you have brought her in from the wild, she's now your responsibility. And with your knowledge of animals, I very much doubt if she'll live to see the morning. Keep out of the forest, child.
Maria?
Goodness gracious! Look at your dress.
Oh really?
Maria, there's something alive in your bonnet.
Miss Heliotrope, please calm down. This is a Moonacre rabbit, a beautiful, brave, and serene creature. I intend to look after it. And I'm going to call her Serena.
Holding Serena tightly in her arms, Maria looks out of her window into the darkness and watches as a white horse gallops through the grounds, leaving a trail of shimmering light in its wake. Lying in bed, she watches another star disappear from the ceiling. Puzzled, she pulls her bedsheets tightly round herself and stares at the few bright stars which remain on the ceiling. In the morning, Maria marches into the music room where Sir Benjamin sits at the piano.
Uncle, I really think you and I have some matters to discuss. There are some strange things going on in this house. For a start, who is it who leaves the dresses and the biscuits in my room? The stars on my ceiling move. There's a mysterious white horse outside. This place is falling apart. Things appear, things move. The piano plays music on its own. I mean, I've never even seen a kitchen. So where on earth does all this food come from?
Do you ever stop asking questions?
Fighting back tears, he storms off.
Uncle, I...
Sit down, my dear.
Rolf
licks her hand and walks away. Maria follows him.
Where are we going?
As Rolf strides past an ornate mirror leaning against the wall, Maria spots that his reflection is that of the Black Lion. Rolf disappears around the corner, and Maria follows him. As she reaches the end of the corridor, she discovers a small door and pushes it open. A small moustached man wearing a white hat stands at one end of a large kitchen. To Maria's astonishment, he appears in different places around the room in the blink of an eye.
Marmaduke Scarlet, chef of all chefs. At your service, little princess.
He disappears as she goes to shake his hand. Bewildered, Maria looks around the room for him whilst Marmaduke stands in the kitchen gardens picking tomatoes.
How did you do that?
Cut me some chervil, will you? Chop, chop. Neither dilly nor dally.
I'm not actually really sure what a chervil is.
Never to mind. I'll get it.
He speeds around the kitchen so quickly she can hardly see him.
Are you the one who leaves milk and biscuits for me?
Fluffy oats and fruit so sweet always makes a healthy treat. These past few days, it's all come back to me. Oudah souffle, astral meringue. I've got my gastro back.
Mr. Scarlet, please, will you stand still for just one moment? Surely somebody in this household must be able to answer my questions.
Little princess, a little bit of magic has come back to the valley. You obviously haven't finished reading the book.
The book? Papa's book. But my uncle took it away from me.
Ah, in the library, far side, you'll find a slip volume, secret doors and private lockers. Perhaps a piece of stargazer pie while you study.
She smiles at him, takes the piece of pie and heads to the library. She walks amongst huge bookcases full of old books, looking closely for the one entitled Secret Doors and Private Lockers. Finding the slim book, she goes to remove it from the shelf. As she does, a secret compartment housing the Chronicles of Moonacre Valley is revealed. She takes the Chronicles and her piece of stargazer pie and heads to a more secluded part of the library. Sitting on a pile of books on the floor, she takes a bite of the pie and picks up the book and smiles. As she opens the book, the small white lights on the front begin to glow. Inside the first page is a leather bookmark with an ornate piece of metal at the top of it. She beams happily and begins to read.
The Moon Princess truly believed in the goodness of all. But the men soon revealed the greed that was in their hearts, each desperate to claim the power of the pearls for himself.
Sir William Dunois grabs the pearls.
We are the chosen ones. These pearls will stay with the Dunois clan forever.
Father,
come, be with me. Let Moonacre be your home and me your family.
Speak truth.
Sir Rolf Merriweather grabs them.
With the power in these pearls, I could claim the whole valley for myself.
No, together. I mean, together we could rule the valley.
These pearls belong to no man. They belong to nature.
Give them to me!
No, give them to me!
No, no, no! I beg of you, please! Do not let your heart be ruled by greed!
Betrayed by those she loved the most, the Moon Princess unleashed the power bestowed upon her and cast a terrifying curse over them all.
If she is not heard, when the 5,000th moon rises from the sea, this valley shall be plunged into eternal darkness.
The moon pearls vanished that day, and where to find them remained a secret.
Marmaduke, the house, the valley, it's all...
cursed? Oh, yes. Take a look around you. Everything is falling apart. Ever since that terrible day, the two families have been totally consumed with pride and blind hatred. And the only person who can break this curse is a true Moon Princess.
The Moon Princess? But she lived hundreds of years ago.
And legend tells of a little white horse, a mystical companion and protector, a magical creature, invisible, so they say, to anyone except a true moon princess.
You mean I'm supposed to be this? I'm supposed to undo this curse?
Everyone knows the legend. Peace will never be restored until the pearls are returned to the sea and the families reunited.
This is all madness.
Time is slipping away. 5,000 moons to set it right.
Stop. Stop, I don't want to hear another word. You're all insane.
As the large moon shines in the night sky, Maria sits in her room scribbling in her notebook.
384 years. Times 13 for the moons per annum. Plus 7 moons for this year. That makes 4,999. Oh, Serena, the very next moon that rises will be the 5,000th moon.
In her sleep.
Everyone knows the legend.
These pearls belong to no man. They belong to nature.
5,000 moons to set it right.
You are a Merriweather, Maria. Moonacre could rot in hell.
We are chosen ones.
In her dream, she runs through the forest chased by a figure in dark clothing.
Keep out the forest, child.
Peace will never be restored.
Revenge!
She falls into the water and begins to drown. Back in her bedroom, she wakes.
I have to get out of this unearthly place, Serena. I don't want anything more to do with this. Miss Heliotrope will take good care of you.
With her bag packed, she scrambles through the Merriweather grounds to the boundary portcullis. Unable to raise the portcullis, she scampers off through the fields surrounding the grand Merriweather residence. She stops at the entrance to an underground cave. She heads down into the cave. A cloaked figure appears from the shadows. A beautiful woman with porcelain skin and blonde hair removes her cloak.
Who are you?
She smiles sweetly at Maria and walks further into the cave. Maria follows her.
You look just like the lady in the painting.
Come along.
She walks into a house built inside the cave, which houses small animals and foliage from the woodland. Maria stares in astonishment at the unusual yet cozy residence.
Oh, do come in. Oh.
You naughty hedgehog. In my favourite chair again. You cheeky monkey.
Maria spots a dress embroidered with the letter L.
Be nice and still. Don't make any sudden movements. Then she won't be so scared.
I'll try.
Oh, I was talking to the snake. I rescue as many injured creatures as I can.
She puts the snake back in a basket.
And are you the owl embroidered on all those strange dresses in my room?
Yes, I am. My name is Loveday.
She takes Maria's hand and leads her in front of a mirror.
Geraniums wither and die. Rosemary cures the shivers. Our time is nearing its end, my dear. The moon shall not love us forever.
In the mirror, Maria sees the moon grow so large that it meets with the earth and creates a huge wave of fire that destroys the land. Petrified, she stares at the mirror in shock.
You saw something, didn't you? Didn't you? Tell me what you saw. I have to leave.
No. Forgive me. I frightened you, haven't I? You see, I'm not used to visitors. And I do so want us to be friends. It's no use, you know. Your father, he tried to run away too. But there's nowhere to hide. He sent you here because he loved you. Because Moonacre is where you belong.
Maria and Loveday sit on top of a rock overlooking the land.
You and I are the same. Except? Where I failed, you may succeed.
What about my uncle, Sir Benjamin? Can't he help?
Never, ever mention that man to me again. Do you understand? Your past is behind you. Your future awaits you if you want it. You decide.
I want to help. I just don't know what I'm supposed to do to begin.
Find the pearls. Nobody knows where they are. Each family blames the other for taking them.
Well, they're both to blame. The Dunois took the casket and we must have the key.
Maria has a flashback to the ornate piece of metal lodged in the top of the bookmark in the Chronicles of Moonacre Valley.
The key.
She reaches into her bag and lifts out the book. Carefully, she pulls out the metal key with a pearl in its centre, which sits at the top of the leather bookmark.
Now for the casket. You have to take me there.
Where?
To the Dunois. You have to take me to where they live.
The falcon watches the two of them as they traipse through the forest. Loveday walks anxiously behind an eager Maria.
There
it is. Loveday. Are you all right?
I'm sorry. I can never go back there.
She runs back into the forest. Maria chases after her.
Loveday!
She disappears into the forest, leaving Maria alone. Unwavering, Maria heads towards the Dunois castle. Maria wanders through the villagers milling about outside the castle.
All I love of my life is
Unseen by the gatekeeper, Maria sneaks through the main gate with the men and into the castle grounds. She makes her way up the steep rickety steps and over to a doorway in the castle wall. She looks up nervously to see dozens of human skulls embedded into the stone around the door. She quickly looks around for anyone watching before going inside. She creeps into the main banqueting hall where Robin, his father, and the rest of the Dunois are sat eating.
Father, I prepared a plan to snatch the girl from under the Mayweather roof.
Don't go near Moonacre. That house is damned.
No. Word is, she's about to meet her downfall.
He looks directly at Maria, who's restrained by two guards.
How kind of you to join us, Moon Princess.
Maria shows him the key.
Oh, what is this?
She has brought us the lost key, gentlemen.
Because the terrible Dunois have had the moon pearls hidden up here all the time, haven't we?
Well, it's true, isn't it? Your ancestors stole them.
My ancestor?
Well, perhaps, Princess, I should introduce you. Maria Merriweather, the last Moon Princess. Sir William, the very first Coeur de Noir.
She stares at the grave of Sir William as Coeur de Noir takes the pearl box from the top of it.
The pearl casket.
And you, sir, very kindly brought us the key. Oh.
He deliberately drops the key and opens the empty casket.
You've hidden them!
They were never there, girl. Your filthy Merriweather family took them. Before he picked up the box, they stole the pearls. But soon, the final moon will rise. And the thieving Merriweathers will be punished. And now that we have you here,
there's nothing anyone can do to stop it.
At last, the entire valley will be ours. And the Dunois will finally feast upon revenge.
Yeah! Robin marches Maria through the dark, dank castle tunnels.
You know, for someone in your current predicament, I have to admire your spirit.
I told you she was feisty, Robin.
Witch!
I wouldn't say that from her, Robin. What are you gonna do? Talk her out.
Hey! Lock her in!
Right, sir!
Welcome to your new home.
Make friends with the cockroaches.
Sweet dreams.
Robin waves at her.
Come on, let's go. Guard, watch her. She's slippery.
Maria stares forlornly out of the heart-shaped window in the metal jail door. A shaft of bright light from a small window high in the cell illuminates part of the dark chamber. She wanders around the bare stone cell and looks up to the light source, where she spots a skeleton still hanging in a torture cage. Oh. She crouches down on the straw-covered floor and puts her head in her hands.
Where is that girl? Unbelievable.
He puts down his decanter and paces the room. When his back is turned, Miss Heliotrope helps herself to a quick swig.
Absolutely irresponsible.
Irresponsible.
Downright foolhardy.
Foolhardy. Foolhardy.
In the jail at the Dunois Castle, water drips into a small puddle on the straw floor. Light catches the water and its shimmering reflection appears on the cell wall. The glistening light wakes Maria, who lies on the floor. As Maria looks at the flickering light, the majestic white horse appears within it. With a surge of determination, she rushes to the jail door and checks the coast is clear. She climbs up the torture cage and tries to reach through the iron bars at the top to the outside.
Oh, the stress!
When are you gonna have? Tomorrow?
Looking down at her long, hooped dress, she has an idea. The jailer peers into the cell and notices what looks like Maria hanging from the cage. As he rushes in, Maria sneaks out of the open cell door wearing just her bloomers and corseted underwear. Robin and the other Dunoirs corner her at the edge of one of the castle's high outer walls.
Princess. What are you going to do now?
She looks down at the long drop, then jumps. Limping, she stumbles through the woods.
She will never find her way out of the forest.
The young Dunoir men race through the woods looking for her. The Dunoirs come to a halt by a fallen tree and scan the forest for her.
She can't have come this far.
No, let's try north.
As the men disappear back into the forest, Maria pops out from inside the fallen tree's trunk. She carefully makes her way deeper into the forest. On horseback, Côte d'Ivoire releases the falcon.
Go and find her!
I want her killed. I won't let her stop the curse.
Their death is our victory.
Stupid girl. Should have stayed where you were.
As she races through the woods, a piece of blue material catches on a branch and rips off her undergarments. Racing through the woods, one of the young Dunoir men spots the blue material hanging from the tree.
Robin!
Robin snatches the material from the branch.
Come on!
Maria stops in the dense forest, unsure which way to go. Maria almost falls to her knees as the young Dunoirs continue to run through the forest, gaining ground.
This way!
Rolf appears from behind the trees.
Oh, Rolf! Rolf! Quickly, can you find the way home?
She follows him as he leads them out of the forest. Côte d'Ivoire watches as they race towards the house.
That demon dog can't protect you forever!
Maria! Oh! That'll be Miss Maria on then, sir.
Oh, Benjamin, Miss Healy-Trover.
Where are you?
Miss Heliotrope.
You're all right, ma'am.
Miss Heliotrope.
I'm perfectly all right.
Yes.
But where are your clothes, my dear one?
How dare you come home in this manner and at this hour?
I'm sorry, but you don't know what happened.
I was in the forest, and I got...
In the forest?
But, Uncle,
did I not expressly forbid you to enter the forest?
Yes, but listen, I have so much to tell you about
the curse. Go upstairs this instant and tidy yourself up.
But...
Just do as you're told!
You are not my father.
She pushes her out of the way and runs upstairs. Later, Benjamin sits in the music room, staring into the night out of the big bay window.
Maria. Maria, open this door.
Listen. It may be possible that I was a little bit on the firm side earlier.
The point is, you were gone for such a long time. And without even telling us, Miss Heliotrope was beside herself with worry. Maria.
I know that... Well, given that women and I don't always see eye to eye... It wouldn't be untrue to say that... I'm glad that you're back.
Maria smiles and opens the door of her room, just as Benjamin turns and spots the portrait of the Moon Princess hanging on the wall.
Who put this back on the wall?
Digweed. Digweed! Come and take this away!
Maria lies on her bed with Serena in her arms. She looks up at her ceiling as another star bursts into life and shoots across the mural.
Soon there won't be any stars left, Serena. The moon is getting closer and closer. What are we going to do?
In the morning, Maria wakes with a start. Unnerved, she grabs a gold candlestick from beside her bed and cautiously edges her way over to the small fireplace at the other side of the room. Suddenly, a stone horse's head carved out of a wave on the fireplace moves and a small door opens out of one of the bedroom walls. Loveday creeps out of the door and looks worriedly across at Maria's empty bed.
How could you leave me like that? In the forest?
This belonged to the first ever Moon Princess.
She holds up a dark red dress.
Forgive me.
Maria nods and Loveday opens her arms and the pair hold each other tightly and smile contentedly.
Fits you like a glove.
Oh, Loveday, this is all hopeless.
What?
I'm as far away from actually finding the pearls as ever. They have to be here somewhere. Hidden. Come on, come with me.
Where? Downstairs? Oh, no, I'm not going downstairs.
Maria walks downstairs wearing the Moon Princess's dress, whilst Loveday follows behind her, looking around in wonder at the house. Her face lights up as she hears the music. She hurries down the stone stairs and heads straight to the music room. The piano plays by itself. Loveday starts to play. Maria joins in.
Oh,
Out of the corner of her eye, Maria notices the reflection of the room in a mirror propped up against the wall. The room in the reflection is not crumbling. It's bright and full of flowers. She walks over and takes a closer look. In the reflection, Sir Benjamin and Loveday sit cuddled up together at the piano, playing and laughing. Maria looks back at the drab room behind her and at a forlorn Loveday sat at the piano. In the reflection, Sir Benjamin, dressed in a smart blue tailcoat with a red cravat, and Loveday in a white long dress trimmed with vibrant red ribbon, waltz around a sunlit room.
Isn't it bad luck for the groom to see the dress?
I wanted you to see me just as I am before the wedding.
And what does that mean?
She passionately kisses him.
Benjamin, I have to tell you something. Something I should have told you a long, long time ago.
My darling, whatever is it?
I'm not who you think I am. I'm a de noir.
A de noir?
I was brought up to despise the Merryweathers, but you see, then I met you and that changed everything.
You've tricked me.
No.
You pretended to love me.
No.
And all this time you were plotting behind my back, trying to find those ridiculous
pearls!
Loveday picks the broken flower pot off the floor.
It was your father that sent you, wasn't it?
No. By marrying you, I've lost his love forever. But Benjamin, don't you see? Our love could bring our families back together. Could put an end to this dreadful curse.
Curse? Oh, don't give me that nonsense. And you fill this house with your Dunois flowers!
No, please, I don't understand. Doesn't love change everything?
No, my dear. But hate does.
He hurls the beautiful flowers outside. As Loveday runs from the house in tears, Sir Benjamin looks around the music room in disbelief. In the present-day music room, Maria walks back to the piano where a sorrowful Loveday sits with her head resting on her hands.
So, you missed your chance to bring the families together?
She nods.
He broke my heart. I think he broke his heart too. But he let me be lost forever. It must have been quite a shock for him. I mean, maybe if you'd waited for him to calm down, perhaps apologize.
Oh, me apologize?
Frustrated, she gets up from the piano.
Oh, you don't understand, do you? I'm starting to understand one thing. The real curse of this valley is pride.
Outside Maria's bedroom, Digweed starts to take down the Moon Princess's portrait.
Digweed, stop!
Well, that will be the Master's wishes.
Don't move a muscle.
I'll be back.
He stands in an uncomfortable position holding the portrait.
A girl like this is known as a Moon Princess, is she?
Exactly.
Maria, tell me more about this curse.
Heavens. There she is. Each time a new moon princess arrives, so does this picture.
But look at it. Look at it. Digweed, you can move now.
Oh, thank goodness.
They all stand around staring at the portrait. Gradually, the picture comes to life, and the Moon Princess shows the pearls to the four gawping observers. She disappears with the pearls into a white light, and the majestic white horse is revealed standing by a twisted tree. It vanishes, and the picture returns to normal.
Can't you see?
There, look. She's showing us. She took the pearls.
Maria, are you telling us that the Moon Princess herself took the moon pearls?
Yes, and she's showing me where she hid them.
Well, where? Where did she put them?
They're in a tree somewhere. Out in the forest.
Well, that's a help.
No, I saw what was nearby. I think I'd note again if I saw it. What?
There's only one person who has walked the woods his whole life. Someone who has it in his blood.
Robin? Impossible. He's an arrogant so-and-so. I never ever want to see him again. It's a point of honor. It's a matter of...
pride?
She glares at Marmaduke and leaves. Digweed helps Maria onto Periwinkle. As he passes Serena to her, she gives him a letter for Loveday and one for Benjamin. Digweed knowingly taps his nose and puts the letters away.
Good luck, little princess!
Bye.
Whoa!
Wait! No, Miss Heliotrope. You won't stop me. This is my home and I'm going to fight for it.
No. I know you have to do this. I'm beginning to understand a little. I believe in you.
Bye.
Bye, miss.
But be careful, my dear.
I will.
That will be the post, sir.
Walking down the stairs, Benjamin pulls the letter from the envelope and stops in his tracks.
Loveday.
Standing at her mirror surrounded by different dresses, Loveday picks up and lovingly smells her letter, which reads, "Dearest Loveday, meet me tonight at Moonacre. Yours, Benjamin." Whilst Loveday chooses which dress to wear, Benjamin excitedly struggles to tie his tie. In the forest, Robin comes across a Moonacre rabbit in one of his traps. As he slowly approaches the creature, Maria pops out from behind a tree.
Princess, giving yourself up. How good of you.
A rope traps him by his feet and hangs him upside down.
The great trapper. Trapped.
Let me down, you little witch!
Certainly.
No, don't you dare!
No.
My foot.
Thank you, darling Serena. Off you go.
Please. Wait! Oh, this is really hurting. I can feel my head swelling.
Oh, no. It was like that before. I will let you down if you do one thing for me.
What?
Just promise you will listen. Say, I promise. Just say it.
I promise. All right, you beat me. Let me down.
Very well.
As he tries to run, she threatens him with a knife.
What about him?
Yeo de Noir. He very probably will hurt you.
She hands him the knife.
I'm listening.
Sir Benjamin paces in the music room. Loveday enters in a beautiful turquoise dress. Benjamin gazes at her and smiles, and she beams back at him. He holds out his hand to her.
Miss Lenoir.
Sir Benjamin.
Digweed watches from the door as they walk into the room hand in hand, unable to take their eyes off each other.
Well.
She bites her lip expectantly.
Benjamin? I'm here.
I believe apologies are in order.
Yes, they are.
After all, one's behaviour has not been as it might.
That's right.
Miss Heliotrope and Marmaduke join Digweed to watch through the crack in the door.
I'm sorry.
Yes, so you should be.
Beg your pardon?
It shan't be easy to forgive you, but...
Forgive me? What on earth are you talking about?
Don't play games with me, Benjamin Merriweather. You asked me here.
It was you who asked to see me.
What?
He shows her his letter. She shows him hers.
It's Maria.
Maria. Where the devil is that girl?
Bye.
Robin, please.
I promised I would listen to you. And I have.
Robin, you have to help me. You have to.
You are a Merryweather. Right now, I hope to kill you.
Kill me and the whole valley dies with me. You and I can stop it, and we only have until moonrise. Tonight.
I'm still listening.
At the castle, Code Noir storms over to his horse.
She's back in the forest. And this time, she won't be leaving.
There are armed men out there whose express aim it is to do her harm.
I would never have agreed. I didn't know. You see,
I must go to her.
Oh, don't be a fool. I'll go. I know the forest.
If you'll forgive me, I believe I know exactly where Maria will be.
You do?
How do you know?
I'm a superb chef, madam. It follows that I possess a truly superb nose. In my youth, when I would roam those woods, I could try anything that moved. Plus, she told me where she was going.
Oh!
In the forest, Robin ties a piece of blue ribbon to a branch of a tree, then runs in the opposite direction to Maria.
What was that?
Lost trail.
What were you doing with one of my ribbons in your pocket?
He looks at her and smiles.
They're in a tree, but it's very distinctive. It has massive roots twisting around a big, dark hollow.
I know where that is. Suppose for a moment I do decide to help you. And suppose we actually manage to find the pearls. What then?
Well, we'd return the pearls to the sea and then we'd go...
You know my father's coming after you.
It's just a matter of finding them before he finds me.
He turns away and thinks to himself.
Mr. Noir, it is highly dangerous out there. This is no mission for a woman.
Perhaps you should have told that to Maria.
As a matter of fact, I did. Frequently.
Wait! Wait!
Oh, gas, teeth, tongue and tongue.
That'll be another female for the party. Oh.
Madam,
you are not required on this expedition.
Not required?
That'll be your win.
Enough. Dogweed.
Right. I have been caring for Maria since she was a baby, and I intend to protect her now.
I know which way to go.
He vanishes.
Oops!
Come on.
Where's he gone?
They all look around for him. He appears behind a tree.
Marmaduke?
He walks into a tree.
Marmaduke, you blithering egg scrambler, what are you doing?
Fruity nuts. Sorry, sir. Overzealous exuberance. It appears my pals out here are not they are in the kitchen.
Just show us where to go, would you?
Sir.
As the others march into the woods, Miss Heliotrope lags behind.
I noticed the house is falling down. Sad to see the place in such a state of disrepair.
If he was so fond of it, why did he run away from it?
Well, you took everything I held dear and ripped it away from me. How could I stay?
Run far, did you?
No, not very far. But then you never came to look for me, did you?
Hurt, Benjamin storms off.
He spent months on horseback. Scout the entire county searching for you.
Marmaduke, are you leading this expedition or not?
Yes, sir, yes.
Loveday smiles at Benjamin. Marmaduke licks his finger.
Strawberry.
He holds his finger in the air.
This way.
I think we might have a greater chance of finding her if we divide and spread the arc a little wider.
Loveday walks off in a different direction to the others. Elsewhere in the forest, Rolf runs ahead of Maria and Robin.
It's through the clearing and over the next hill.
Rolf!
We're not far now.
Rolf!
A Denoir grabs Robin.
Oh. Rolf? Robin?
He pins Robin against a tree, covers his mouth, and holds a knife to his throat.
Robin!
Rolf runs through the woods and falls into a pit.
Rolf? Rolf? Rolf!
Let's go, boy! Fish! Come on!
Robin is marched through the forest to the pit where Rolf is being taunted by two dwarves. Petrified, he watches as his father rides towards him.
Come on! Come on. What?
Rolf!
You got the job! Stay here!
Oh, this is pretty.
Father, let me explain.
Is it not enough for one member of my family to betray me? Now I find that her brother is a traitor, too. I will take care of this princess myself. Once and for all.
Elsewhere in the forest.
Rolf!
As Maria scans the forest, the majestic white horse appears darting through the trees. She walks through the forest, following its path. As it disappears, Maria becomes unsure which way to go. The white horse reappears, revealing the way. Maria follows the path of the shimmering white horse through the forest. As she climbs over the brow of a small hill, she spots the horse stood in front of a large, twisted tree. The majestic creature trots into the forest and Maria hurries down to the tangled tree, which has a small opening amongst its twisted roots.
This is the place.
Code Noir strides out from behind the tree. Elsewhere, Robin's tied up.
Where are the pearls?
Stop. Listen! The moon will kill us all!
Rolf leaps out at Robin's captors.
Get back! Rolf, we have to find the rear!
One of the men shoots at Rolf.
Rolf!
As Robin races off, Rolf limps through the forest and then collapses on the ground. She escapes his clutches and runs off. Robin races through the forest and crashes into her.
You! How could you betray me like that?
Robin!
Mia, wait. We'll not let you take her, Father.
Put the knife down, boy.
Father, please.
You have to listen to what the rear has to say.
Traitor! You are nothing to me now.
Go!
I'll know where to find you again. Back where it all began.
As Rolf lies motionless on the leafy ground, the Denoirs chase Robin and Maria.
Keep her!
There they are, Dulac! Quick, they're right behind us!
Come on!
In here!
They scurry through the small opening in the twisted tree's roots. Crawling on their hands and knees, they make their way through a dark tunnel in the earth and deep inside the tree.
Where have they gone? I swear they were here.
Robin, look at this.
Getting to their feet, they stand and gawp in amazement at a wooden door in front of them. They walk into a neglected, dark room within the tree, which is overgrown with winding roots and vines. They look around in wonder at a statue of the Moon Princess, her old bed and her ottoman at the foot of it.
Where are they?
Outside, one of the Dunois spots the small opening in the roots of the tree. Inside, Maria holds up a white dress.
It's hers, it must be. Where did you put them?
She pulls on a carved horse's head on the fireplace and a passageway opens. Robin tentatively looks inside. Maria notices that the statue of the Moon Princess has a necklace of stone beads around her neck. She reaches out and pulls them from her, and they sparkle into glistening pearls. She clutches the pearls tightly in her hands and then shows them to Robin.
The path!
They escape through the secret passage.
Oh, witchcraft! I don't believe this!
Maria and Robin hurry through the dark tunnel.
It's so dark here.
Moonpass, we need your power now. Show us the way.
The long pearl necklace glows with a bright white light. Using the pearl necklace to light their way, they head through a long stone-walled tunnel to the steps at the end. In the forest...
Suddenly seems very quiet.
That'll be the absence of the ladies then, sir.
Maria and Robin carry on through the stone tunnel.
We're lost.
Maria looks around the cave, unsure which path to take. At the end of one passageway, the white horse appears and illuminates the darkness in front of them.
Maria!
Robin, come on! Don't you see? She's showing us the way.
Code Noir stands at the edge of the amphitheatre overlooking the wild sea. The large, bright moon hangs in the grey evening sky, almost touching the water. Sir Benjamin, Digweed and Marmaduke walk out through a tunnel and into the amphitheatre and stare in amazement at the enormous moon in front of them.
Code Noir! Meriwether! Good evening! Your niece has failed! If you have harmed that girl in any way, I'll...
Sir! No!
Please, sir! No!
Stop! Stop, Uncle, no!
Father, we got them!
But we're...
No!
Thank heavens! Give me the pearls! Those damned pearls. They brought us nothing but heartache and grief.
No, Uncle. It is not the pearls, but the greed in our hearts which brings us this misery. Father!
Loveday approaches her shocked and surprised father.
Why is there so much hatred in your heart?
My daughter.
She looks with concern at the moon as it edges closer to the water.
Don't you want to be free of this darkness imprisoning you?
It is he! It is he!
Father! Benjamin!
She grabs both their hands and lays them on top of each other, holding them in place. Maria lays the pearls over their hands and looks out at the moon.
Look. The 5,000th moon. The curse is coming true. If you can sacrifice your pride, we can save our families. We can save the valley.
You first.
No, no. After you.
I must do this myself.
Taking the pearl necklace, she walks out onto a small ledge overlooking the ferocious sea. She stares intensely at the moon and lifts the necklace into the air.
At the 5,000th moon, I, Maria Merriweather, Moon Princess of Moonacre, do remove the curse that darkens this valley. Take back what is yours.
She throws the necklace down into the sea, but it speeds straight back into her grasp. She breaks apart the necklace. She scatters the loose pearls into the sea below. The pearls hover in the air before flying back at her and attaching to her dark red dress. She tries to wipe them from her dress. Unable to do so, she slowly walks out onto the very edge of the small ledge above the sea. She looks at the others before taking a deep breath, closing her eyes and jumping off the ledge into the sea below. Landing in the deep water, she wipes the pearls from her dress and they dislodge, floating with her in the tiny bubbles under the sea. As the pearls float away, Maria's eyes close, and the air bubbles coming from her delicate mouth begin to stop. On the rocks, Benjamin holds Loveday close to him, whilst the others stare down at the sea. Maria's lifeless body sinks deeper into the dark blue water. As the small glistening pearls lie on the sandy seabed, the moon touches the water, and a bright white light spreads out across the land, and the kingdom is bathed in sunlight. The light moves across Rolf's lifeless body in the forest. Stood in the amphitheatre, they all watch as a huge wave forms on the horizon. They stare in bewilderment as the wave moves closer, gaining speed and height, and dozens of white horses appear galloping through it. Everyone turns to run as the wave gets closer. As the wave begins to break, a white unicorn gallops out in front of the others, carrying Maria's lifeless body on its back. Everyone braces themselves as the wave crashes against the rock. As the water quickly subsides, the unicorn stands on the ledge above the sea, carrying Maria's slumped body. The bright light from the small moon in the sky glistens on the unicorn's mane. Maria begins to stir.
Maria!
Maria!
She looks around at everyone staring at her.
Oh, my sweet child, you're alive!
Uncle.
Benjamin squeezes her tightly and a tear rolls down his cheek. She looks at him and he tries to compose himself and hide his emotions. In the forest, Rolf wakes and morphs into the Black Lion. Maria lovingly kisses the unicorn as the land is restored to its natural beauty.
Were you worried, Robin?
No. Anyone could have done that.
Loveday hugs Maria tightly.
You're the true Moon Princess.
Oh, cat's teeth.
That'll be a black lion then, sir.
It's all right, Uncle. It's just Ralph.
The black lion pads its way past the stunned group and stands proudly on the ledge above the sea with the white unicorn. Maria smiles at the animals, and Benjamin turns to Loveday.
Please forgive my stubborn pride. Loveday?
Stop right there! I will finish her now.
No, stop, Julia! Ooh. Oh! Ooh. Ouch! No! Stop it!
The
search
party, sir.
Maria, I'm here. My dear, I've come to save you.
Thank you, but all is well.
He passionately kisses her. She bites her lip as he goes down on one knee.
Oh. Is there to be a wedding?
Loveday smiles at her. Digweed marches past the happy couple and up to Miss Heliotrope. He puts his hand on his heart and looks lovingly at her.
Oh, ma'am.
Everyone looks bemused.
Mr. Dogwood.
She reaches out her little finger to his, and gingerly they hold hands.
Well, there we are, then. Nothing to be done.
As they all look out to sea, Maria turns to the camera and smiles, and her face becomes a drawing in the Chronicles of Moonacre Valley, and the book closes.